You're listening to the Daily Radio Ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Proverbs. Today on Sandy Adams Radio, Pastor Sandy will begin in Proverbs chapter 26.
When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it roll back on him. A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. Beware of the person who can't hold his tongue. Chapter 27. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. This was James's inspiration in James chapter 4. You know, James tells us not to be so sure of our plans. He writes, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Don't boast about tomorrow. No one is guaranteed tomorrow. Life is full of the unexpected. I remember reading the story about Billy Graham. In 1962, Billy Graham woke up in a Seattle hotel room with a strange burden on his heart to pray for Marilyn Monroe and for her salvation. In fact, the next day, he had one of his aides call her agent and ask to arrange a meeting. Well, Billy Graham was told that it would take at least 2 weeks to set things up. And yet, 2 weeks later, the world was shocked by the news of Marilyn Monroe's suicide. The opportunity never came. Don't boast in tomorrow. It may not come. Marvin did the schedule. He showed me the schedule for the worship team until December. He worked out the schedule all the way to December. He said, Pastor Sandy, what do you think about the schedule? I worked it out all the way to December. I said, Marvin, I never like to work out schedules like that. Half the people could be dead by December. I mean, it's true. This is why Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There are no guarantees that any of us will be around tomorrow. Hey, by the way, did you hear about the meeting that the devil had with his demons? I mean, too many people were becoming Christians. This had to be stopped. One of the demons, he suggested that they tell everybody that the Bible couldn't be trusted. The devil replied, he said, no, there's too much evidence to the contrary. Nobody will believe that. Another demon, he said, well, let's tell them that there's no heaven or hell. The devil said, that'll never work. The finality of life is ingrained in the heart of every man. Finally, one of the demons spoke up and said, hey, let's just tell them there's no hurry. And it sounded good. And that's become Satan's strategy ever since. Just put it off till tomorrow. There's no hurry. The Bible warns us, none of us are promised tomorrow. He says, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. That's good. A stranger and not your own lips. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? Often rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Think about that one for a while. A rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. If you love someone, don't just assume that he knows. Tell that person. Verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. True friends are going to tell you the truth, even if it hurts. He or she is willing to risk your feelings in order to spare you a serious mistake. Yeah, I got to admit, I don't know that I have many friends like that. But boy, those are your true friends that are willing to tell you the truth. The faithful are the wounds of a friend. He says, a satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. A man who's full is able to be selective. He might even turn down some sweets. But a hungry person eats whatever is available. You know, here's a profound spiritual lesson in this proverb. Fill up on the joy and the peace and the goodness of God, and it's easier to say no to the sweet things of this world. It's the empty person who becomes vulnerable to sinful temptation. The hungry person If you're hungry, you tend to want to fill up on anything. If you're full with the love of Jesus, you can say no to the things of this world. Like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. Remember 1 Corinthians 7. There Paul tells us to remain where we've been called. When we wander away from our marriage or from our job or from our church or from our calling, wherever God has called us, if we wander from that place, inevitably we get ourselves into trouble. He says, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Isn't that the truth? You know, even in the age of Facebook, I mean, there's something to be said for physical contact and physical proximity. It's vital in friendships. Online relationships can be fun, I admit, but they don't provide the touch that we need. You know, friends on webcams can't watch our kids when we go out. They can't hold our hand when we need them to. They can't sit there and put their arm around us. We need some nearby friends. And a friend nearby is better than a brother far away, he's saying. Verse 11, my son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Take the garment of him who is surety for a stranger and hold it in pledge when he is surety for a seductress. If you make a loan to a suspect person, make sure you require some collateral up front. Verse 14 is a good proverb. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. In other words, I can roll over at 5 a.m. and tell my wife how beautiful she is and how wonderful she is and how much I love her. Words that she normally really loves to hear, but at 5 a.m. she's going to bark at me and tell me to shut up. We all love words of encouragement, especially after 8 o'clock. Here it is again. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Here's another contentious woman passage. This is the fifth and counting, I think. Bitter, argumentative women are a blight on the family. I'm thinking, what else can I say about this? I read this during the Manly Revolution series back in the fall. It's been about a year or so now, and so I thought I could bring it out again. Here are the top 10 t-shirts worn by contentious women. Top 10 t-shirts worn by contentious women. These are the t-shirts you hope you never see your wife wearing. Number 10, don't tick me off. I'm running out of places to hide the bodies. Number 9, next mood swing, 6 minutes. Number 8, I hate everybody and you're next. Number 7, guys have feelings too, but like who cares? Number 6, I used to be schizophrenic, but we're okay now. Number 5, warning, I have an attitude and I know how to use it. Number 4, do not start with me. You will not win. Number 3, all stressed out and no one to choke. Number 2, I'm one of those bad things that happen to good people. And the number 1 t-shirt you really hope you never see your wife wearing, I'm out of estrogen and I have a gun. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. And what does Solomon say about the contentious woman? He says, whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. It's easier to corral a hurricane. That's why they call it hurricanes, not himicanes. You know that. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind. You know, to restrain a contentious woman, it's easier to corral a hurricane. It's easier to hold olive oil in your hand. You ever tried to do that? than it is to contain a woman with a chip on her shoulders. Ladies, forgive and love and submit for the sake of your marriage and your family and your own peace of mind. Lose your attitude. Verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You know, when fellow believers get together, when they interact, when they rub shoulders with each other, they knock off each other's rough edges, their sharp edges. They sharpen each other's convictions. They encourage and they challenge each other. You know, the world we live in, it takes away our edge so often. It blunts us. It dulls us to the spiritual sensitivities that we need. That's why we need to be resharpened over and over again. And it comes through fellowship, like iron sharpening iron. Verse 18, whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit, so he who waits on his master will be honored. Notice this, patience and loyalty toward your employer will eventually pay off. You know, so many times people get antsy and they jump ship and therefore they're never honored. They move on too quickly. He says, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. You know, like a reflection in the lake. I got a picture there. Like a reflection in the lake, the contents of the heart reflect the true person. Verse 20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. 1 John 2, verse 16 outlines our fallen world's value system. Here is the first and the last in John's list, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But stuck in the middle is the lust of the eyes. Now, what is that? It's curiosity. It's the desire to sneak a peek. You just want to see for yourself. But here's the yearning that heads down the slippery slope. Sneak a peek, and before you know it, you're sucked in. You're trapped. We need to corral our eyes. We need to tame our curiosity. When each of my kids was born, God gave me a certain thing to pray for each of those kids. And it's been interesting how God has answered those prayers through the years. But with one of the kids, the thing that God put on my heart was, Lord, tame his curiosity. Don't let his curiosity bring him down. This proverb is saying, the eyes of man are never satisfied. We've got to deal with our curiosity, our desire to see further, our desire to see for ourselves. We don't need to see for ourselves. We know what's there. We need to be able to say no to our curiosity. Verse 21, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him. Though you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. That's a pretty hard nut to crack there. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. That's good advice. Make sure you know what's going on with your flocks. In other words, don't grow slack. Don't take for granted the stewardship of your resources. Balance your checkbook. Make sure your money's still where you put it. Attend to the state of your flocks. God holds each of us accountable for good stewardship, and from time to time, we need to take an inventory of the resources that God's given us. He says, when the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of the field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household and the nourishment of your maidservants. But understand, this abundance that he's talking about would have never occurred had the person not followed up and been attentive to the state of his flocks. Chapter 28. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. I like this verse. You know, the wicked man, he flees when no one pursues. He's got a guilty conscience, in other words. He's always looking over his shoulder. He's dominated by sins that he's covered up, things that he can't run away from. He squirms. He's always squirming. He's always fidgeting. Once there was a newspaper reporter who sent a letter to 10 of the most prominent men in London. The letter read, "Quick, all is uncovered. Leave immediately." Well, within 24 hours, all 10 men packed up and evacuated the city. The wicked are always on the run, whereas the righteous have nothing to run from. A person whose sin is forgiven, who stands in the righteousness of Jesus, the flip side of this proverb, is bold as a lion. He's brave. He's confident. He knows that he has nothing to hide. He can growl. Wilbur Wilberforce was a champion. And if you've never seen the movie about Wilbur Wilberforce, it's a great movie. He was a champion of anti-slavery laws in Great Britain. He was a member of the British Parliament. Historians say that he was very small and very frail in appearance. Once an observer described him as a shrimp who, as he was speaking, grew into a whale. A shrimp who, as he was speaking, grew into a whale. When you're on God's side, you will grow bold as a lion. Verse 2. Because of the transgression of a land, many are its princes. But a man of understanding and knowledge, right, will be prolonged. Generally speaking, sin breeds an unstable government. You know, many are its princes. It takes righteous men to hold the reins of power for extended periods, generally speaking. He says, a poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food. Now, a poor man who oppresses the poor. This is poor on poor crime. Poor men fighting with other poor men. Verse 4. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Verse 7, whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. One who increases his possessions by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor. Usury is interest. And here God is warning the company that's charging exorbitant interest rates. They're growing wealthy on the backs of poor men and women. He's warning them, God may just take away your wealth and give it back to the poor. Verse 9, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. God only promises to answer the prayers of those who walk in his righteousness. I like 1 Peter 3, verse 2. It holds true. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Face of the Lord is against those who do evil. He says, whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. The rich man is wise in his own eyes, but the poor who has understanding searches him out. A poor man with wisdom seeks the advice of a rich man. Verse 12, when the righteous rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. When we sin, we respond in one of two ways. We conceal or we confess. You know, man's first tendency is to cover up. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned, very first sin, what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together. The first fruit of the looms. Leaf briefs, underbrush underwear. That's what they did. They sewed it together. They clothed themselves. They covered up their sin. But it didn't last long. God called them out of the bushes, so to speak, and he asked them to confess. He challenged them to confess. You know, we can either conceal or confess. When David sinned with Bathsheba, you remember, he plotted this massive cover-up that included the murder of Uriah. And the Bible tells us for a whole year he concealed his sin. Oh, on the outside, David was all fine. Everything was great with the king. But on the inside, he was miserable. He was a tortured man. In fact, he prayed in Psalm 32, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer." David's guilt haunted him night and day. You see, the only way for us to be free from the guilt of sin is confession. 1 John 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You either conceal or you confess. Verse 14 tells us, "Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity." In other words, stay teachable. Stay reachable. Don't ever feel like you're above, you know, the advice of others. "Like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor. But he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. A man burdened with bloodshed, a man who's got blood on his hands, who's guilty of violence, will flee into a pit. Let no one help him. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved. But he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall." You know, a life of sin is like walking on ice. A life of sin is like walking on ice. It's unbearable. It gets slippery. Verse 19, "He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows frivolity will have poverty enough. A faithful man," verse 19, in other words, he who plays video games all day will have poverty enough. "A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished." God may make you rich, but your goal should be faithfulness, not riches. Matthew 6, verse 33 says it best, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you." Verse 21, "To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread, a man will transgress." Oh my. You know, they say everybody's got a price. Doesn't take much for some people to sell out their convictions and their integrity. He says, "A man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. He who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with the tongue." At least the rebuke is honest. "Whoever robs his father or his mother and says it is no transgression, the same is companion to a destroyer." Oh, well, I'm going to inherit it anyway. I mean, who do you think she's going to give it to? I'll just go ahead and take it now. You're a thief. Don't say it's not a transgression. It is a transgression. It's a sin. You're a destroyer. You don't take something that's not given to you. Verse 25. And then, you know, that even includes your father's tools. Just to throw that in. I don't like to bring my own personal things into this, but just couldn't resist. It includes your father's tools. Verse 25. "He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. When the wicked arise, men hide themselves, but when they perish, the righteous increase."
You've been listening to Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams, here at Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is teaching his way through Proverbs verse by verse. Immediately following the Psalms, this book keeps the reader engaged and offers wisdom in the form of practical application. Also, like Psalms, it's comprised of many contributors, so there's not just one author, however. Solomon is identified as the primary source. Phrases like a word to the wise come from this book of application and suggest a purposeful nature to the text. This should come as no surprise, as every word of the Bible has been written with purpose and is intended to provide insight and direction to us. If you would like to learn more about how to apply these teachings, head over to sandyadams.org. While you're there, check out Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain under the About tab. If you're in the Atlanta area, why not come visit us? We have services at 9:15 and 11:15 a.m. There's more information and directions at sandyadams.org. Well, that's about all we have time for today, but we look forward to continuing this study with you in Proverbs. Pastor Sandy has more to share about how you can apply what you've learned from today's message. So come back for more in our next edition. Thanks for listening to Sandy Adams Radio.